This is Willie Terry, your Roman labor correspondent, with a special report today. I'm here on the Sunday afternoon, and it's raining here in Albany. And I'm here at the Albany History Fair that's being held at the historical Cherry Hill Mansion in Albany, located on South Pearl. Well, they have a series of speakers that will be speaking today, and poetry, and a series of tables set up talking about the history of Albany. And the theme of this is the Great American Story. And I'm going to talk to some of the presenters and vendors about what's going on. And I have as my guest, your name?
My name is Mary Rita Dobiel, and I'm president of the Board of Trustees here at Historic Cherry Hill.
Okay, and Mary Rita, going to tell us something about the historical Cherry Hill mansion.
Yes, so the house was built in 1787 by Philip Van Rensselaer. He was a wealthy merchant in Albany, and he traded goods between Albany and New York City. He and his family lived here, and five generations of that family lived in this house until 1963. The last surviving family member, Emily Rankin, died in 1963, and in her will, left the house as a museum. And it first opened as a house museum in 1964. What's unique about Cherry Hill is that all of the items in the collection, which comprises 70,000 items, all belong to someone in the family. There are no reproduction pieces. All of the furnishings in the house were owned by family members. We have a huge collection of books and all kinds of personal items, from toothbrushes to hairbrushes to clothing, trunks. So we have a vast collection of items that were the family's saved over the years. The house has been undergoing restoration for the last almost 10 years. We found that all of the items in the collection were stored in the house and in the attic particularly. And in the early 2000s, we found that the house was collapsing under the weight. And so we were able to build a separate structure, which is on Cherry Hill Street, called the Frisbee Center. And that's where we store most of the collection. They moved everything out of the house at that time, and the house has been undergoing restoration. It's our hope and plan that by the end of this year or the very beginning of next year, the restoration will be completed, the belongings, the collection will be reinstalled, and we will be having a grand opening. And I would invite everyone to watch for the announcements about that and come and visit us then.
And just another question. How did the owner of the mansion fit into the Albany history? Did they do something, or did they...
Well, he was certainly related to the Van Rensselaer family, which we're familiar with, and he was a merchant, a well-known merchant in Albany. And so this location was a 900-acre farm at that time. And so they grew crops and shipped the crops and other products down to New York City, and then traded them or sold them and purchased imports from Europe to bring back here to people who wanted to purchase them in Albany.
Oh, okay. I'm just going to ask another question. Mm-hmm. When we think about mansions, we're thinking about slavery too. Mm-hmm. Was there slavery in this area?
Yes. Yeah. The Albany, in fact, there was a slave who lived in this home. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting story because in 1827, there was a murder committed here. And the slave's name was Dinah Jackson. She cooked for the family, and she lived in the house with the family. And the murderer approached her and asked her if she would poison the person he wanted to kill because she prepared his food. And she insisted that she would not do that. Once the murder was committed, that was a worker at this who lived here in the house. He shot a man through the window in the second floor. Once that occurred, at first, she was hesitant to tell anybody what she knew. That is, that he had approached her to murder him. But eventually, she did speak to the police. And at that time, the murder occurred in May of 1827. slaves were not freed in New York until later that summer in 1827. But at the time that the trial occurred for the murderer, she was able to testify because she had been freed.
Oh, okay.
So I think that's a really great story.
Right.
So,
and you said the mansion is not open right now.
It is open for restoration
for
tours.
Restoration.
We're open Wednesdays and Saturdays.
Okay.
We have tours 1, 2, and 3 in the afternoon. You don't need to make a reservation. There is a minor admission fee. I don't know them off the top of my head, so I can't tell you what they are.
Mm-hmm.
But that's on our website. Mm-hmm. And so people are welcome to come, and those are guided tours.
Mm-hmm. And they just have to make an appointment?
You don't even have to make an appointment. You can just come just a little bit before the hour, either 1, 2, or 3.
Mm-hmm.
And we always have an open flag outside so people can know that we're open.
All right.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Okay, thank you. I'm glad you came today. Thank you.
I'm here at a table at the Albany History Fair, and I have someone from the New York State Museum. And your name?
Trisha Zaretsa.
Trisha. And Trisha, tell me something about your display or your setup or your organization.
So we have a variety of different objects from our Fort Orange exhibit that is in the museum right now. We have a variety of different animal pelts as well as Native peoples objects and objects from our exhibits and are from our teaching collection that are on display to help with explaining certain parts of what Fort Orange was like when it was first established.
Is this an exhibit that's in the museum itself?
Yes.
And could you tell us something about how one could, because the radio audience cannot see it, but tell us how one could see some of this artifact that you have here?
All right, perfect. Yeah, so at the State Museum, we have an exhibit right now on that shows most of these kinds of objects. And we also do have public programming from time to time where people can actually come in and actually touch the objects, see the objects, and actually like understand what objects were used at that time. And we also do have school groups that come in that request private classes with our educators that are really awesome, that they can actually get a chance to see the objects and actually learn about them.
Why are you highlighting the Fort Orange project today?
Oh, well, Fort Orange is one of our newer exhibits, and honestly, it's really has a great connection with Albany because Fort Orange was established down near the Hudson River, right near Albany, and it was one of the first real establishments here in New York State.
Who was the community of Fort Orange when that was established? What was the community?
It was the Dutch. So in 1609, Henry Hudson actually came up the Hudson River towards where we are right now. And he claimed the land in the name of the Dutch. He was an English explorer exploring for the Dutch. And he came as far as maybe almost near Troy, and before he went back down the river and back over to the Netherlands.
So you say he claimed that there were no Native Americans in that area when he came?
There were Native people there, the Mohegan or the Haudenosaunee or Navajo were there. They were in the area and they coexisted for a while in terms of how the land was used for a little while.
Okay. All right. Thank you now.
Thank you.
And I'm here with one of the speakers at the Albany History Fair. His name is Eric Schlimmer.
Yes, sir.
And Eric, the books you have on your table, The Cradle of the Union and Among the Clouds, Splinter, you wrote quite a few books. just tell me something about the Cradle of the Union. Was that your speech?
Right, so Cradle of the Union is what I spoke about today, and in this book I historically decode Albany's 800 street names. So if you're driving down a street, walking down a street, how did that street get its name?
What about the Among the Cloud Splinters? What was that book?
So Among the Cloud Splitters and another book, History Inside the Blue Line, I take that same decoding history to the mountains. So if you're hiking up in the Adirondack Mountains and you cross a brook or a stream or a pond or a lake or a mountain, I tell you how that feature got its name.
So just give me a little history about some historical significance about some of the streets in Albany.
All right, so street history runs the gamut. So when you go to the suburbs, you have a lot of streets maybe named for developers' daughters, developers' nieces, so not really deep history. But then when you come to downtown Albany, now you have Civil War heroes and veterans of the Revolutionary War, founding fathers, and presidents. So as you stick towards the Hudson River, you're in Old Albany, and the history is much greater.
Now, some of the major streets that we have in Albany, was that part of your study, like Stake Street, Pearl Street? Oh, tell me something about Pearl.
Well, Pearl is an interesting street. It used to be spelled a different way, so today it's obviously spelled P-E-A-R-L. And back in the day, it was P-A-A-R-L. That is the Dutch spelling for Pearl, and it's named after a Pearl merchant.
All right, thank you, Eric.
My pleasure.